We had so many different people represented at the conference that really now we need to make sure that they continue to stay connected and to stay involved. And I suppose this year of all years is a really relevant year to stay involved, because at the end of the year in Paris we have climate negotiations that are going to agree the next global deal. And so what we're hoping is that, you know, and we announced this last week at the conference, there'll be a whole program of events over the coming months that people can get involved with to stay engaged and to continue to maintain those links and the momentum from the conference. And I think another really relevant thing is that, you know, at the after the conference there was a politician Maureen O'Sullivan put a question to the Taoiseach about climate justice in the climate bill. And of course the climate bill is going through the Dáil at the moment, so it's very relevant timing for us to have had a conference that also dealt with what we in Ireland can do. And the Taoiseach has said he is open to the idea of having climate justice in the climate bill, which is a fantastic advancement from where we've come from, where there was no recognition of climate justice in the bill. So it's great to see how a conference that can highlight an issue such as climate justice and have all the interest from various parties there, how that can actually translate into something more concrete. Now we just have to make sure that the Taoiseach actually does agree to that amendment to include climate justice in the bill.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the problem, I suppose, with something like climate justice is that everybody is for it in theory, but then when the actual practical maybe implications of what needs to be done come down the line, people aren't quite as enthusiastic.
Yeah, I mean, of course, people are reluctant to make changes in their life. Everybody kind of likes to stay as they are and to continue with the lifestyles they have. But the simple facts about it are is that, you know, at the moment we're already causing devastating impacts to some of the most vulnerable people in the world. Our actions here in developed countries, especially Ireland with our incredibly high per capita emissions, we're causing devastation and across the developing world and in some of the most vulnerable communities. And we're also so in terms of a moral you know, angle, we just have to act, and that's, I think that was well emphasized last week. And at the same time, if we don't do it here in Ireland, we'll feel the consequences in the not too distant future. I mean, we had John Sweeney last week, professor at NUI Maynooth, talking about the impacts in Ireland that we are likely to see, and the much lower rainfall in the east and south, and the much higher rainfall then in the west coast. And the impacts that will have are incredibly profound, and I suppose we need to recognise that for our own sakes as well, in terms of what we need to do to reduce that risk in Ireland.
And yet it always seems so distant, and one of the great injustices of climate change is that the countries that are doing most tend to be affected least.
Yes, yeah, they absolutely are. And that's why, you know, Trogra would be so active in this area in terms of trying to address the injustice of this issue. But I think at this point now we're kind of at a stage where we all recognise that the impacts for the most vulnerable across the world are devastating. We had the Bishop from Bangladesh talking about the impacts there, you know, so I think it's well recognised at this stage of that injustice. But what needs to happen next is basically that move to action. And what the conference last week was really trying to emphasise was how do we, you know, we all accept that we need to do something, but how do we actually go about doing that? And one of the things that kind of struck me most was what Bill McKibben said about, you know, the most important thing an individual can do is to stop being an individual and to start making those links with people and with other groups in your area, and just start forming, joining forces basically to try and affect change. And I don't think we can do that on our own. So I think that was a really strong message that came out from last week.
Yeah, so there, I mean, and you talked as well about the morality of it, or having a moral imperative to do it. That's not something that's really been to the forefront either. It's always been dealt with as a scientific issue, maybe, rather than a moral issue.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say that it has more been in the scientific realm. And I think that's one of the challenges we've had with climate change, is that it seemed like something that, you know, scientists are worried about, and let them worry about it and come up with the solutions. But in fact, you know, if we want to actually do something about climate change, every single one of us is responsible. So I think moving it into that space where you can talk about it as something that we are all responsible for is really important, because scientists alone can't make a change, just like the business community alone can't make change. We all need to sort of start doing our bit. And, you know, whether that's from something as small as insulating your house or changing your light bulbs, or whether it's about forming new groups, which I really hope as a result of last week, some people might be motivated to go out and form new groups in their area to start trying to affect change.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard for people to go in cold to an area, though, isn't it, and say, right, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to change. People are going to say, where am I going to get the money? Where am I going to get the time?
Yeah, I think so. But I think we can take huge, you know, it is a challenge for sure, but I think we can take huge inspiration from the likes of Phil Kingston from the UK, who is a founding member of Grandparents for a Safe Earth. He spoke last week about his experience and the need to, you know, that he recognised basically the fact that his generation and the next generation were putting future generations at risk, and that, you know, without doing something now, his grandchildren were not going to see and live in the same world as we've lived in, and that they would be profoundly disadvantaged by that. So I think that sort of aspect of the intergenerational justice can come across quite, that can strike a chord with people in a way that I think the science and the guilt maybe associated with climate change doesn't. I think that that idea that, you know, we are actually doing something now, making these changes to the natural environment that are actually going to have devastating impacts for future generations. And I think that's something that people around the country can identify with, because, you know, they have children and grandchildren and want them to have a better life than we've had. So I think that's one way of trying to get at some of, I suppose, the issues around climate change that aren't, so that people are a bit more, you know, open to dealing with it, and not going in cold, as you say.
Mm-hmm. And what is the single biggest thing that people could do? If there was one thing that you could suggest, what would be something to focus on?
Mm-hmm. I would say at the moment there's a real lack of political will around climate change, and I think one of the biggest things people could do is to start talking to their TDs, to their senators, to their local councillors, letting them know how much of an issue climate change is for them and how much of a worry it is. Because at the moment, politicians will, you know, they'll respond, and especially actually in this upcoming year when there's an election, they'll respond to what they hear on the doorsteps. And I think it's really important that people start to talk about these issues, you know, with their neighbours, with their family, with their friends around the kitchen table, and to then go on and talk to political representatives about it. Because this year of any years, as I said, with the climate negotiations in December, is a really key year for climate change. And I think politicians need to feel like they have a mandate, basically, to act on climate change. So I would say over the coming months, start talking to TDs about this and local councillors, and let them know that it's really a concern.
Mm-hmm. And are you optimistic for the talks, for the negotiations? Because negotiations in the past haven't always lived up to expectations.
Yeah, the negotiations have been incredibly slow and painstaking over the last 20 years. And I think this year, I'd be optimistic that there will be a deal. I don't feel like it'll be adequate, because I think signing, you know, getting to actually address climate change in a way we need to, and to the level that we need in terms of action, it's going to be incredibly hard to get governments to commit to as much action as we actually need. But I do think I would be hopeful that we'll get some form of a deal, and that can be a starting point then again to increase ambition and action over the coming years. It's important that, you know, that we recognise politicians and leaders can do so much, but we also need to play a part in it as well. So I wouldn't put all my faith in the climate talks in December, but I would hope to see some progress made.